A couple of weeks ago, I started a lesson on the topic of holiness. And we talked specifically about what holiness meant. And one of the things that holiness means is to have a life that is unique and a life that is distinct and a life that is separate. And the idea behind the word holiness is the notion of that which is separate, that which is apart, that which is independent and unique and different. And God is certainly holy. And that's what we discussed in our lesson a couple of weeks ago about what it meant to follow after holiness. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 tells us to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And so we want to pursue holiness. We want to lay hold of it. We want to have holiness as part of our life. Because God is holy, we should be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 tells us. We also noted that Jesus was holy, and he was unique and distinct and separate from others. And then finally, we saw that God's Word is holy, and that we need to apply God's Word in our life if we want to be holy. Sanctify them in thy truth, Jesus prayed in John 17 and verse 17. Thy Word is truth. And so we can be sanctified by the truth. But holiness kind of has three notions to it. There is, first of all, the notion of being set apart, that is, being sanctified, being dedicated to a particular situation or circumstance. And God is set apart. He is dedicated. He is sanctified to himself. And so he is the Holy One. Sometimes the scriptures describe him as that. And the seraphim who fly around his throne that is recorded for us in Isaiah chapter 6, Revelation chapter 4, are constantly saying before the Lord, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." So God is special. He is unique. He's wholly separate from us. He's other in a very unique sense. But because we're created in the image of God, then we can have a glimpse of who God is. We can come to understand some things about God. And because Jesus came to the earth to live life as a man, he shows us who God is. In John chapter 1, in verses 17 and 18, there, the Apostle John writes, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." So the first part of that statement really talks about God's holiness. No man has seen God at any time. Well, why is that? Because God is holy. He is distinct. He is unique. He is special. He is set apart. But Jesus, who is in the bosom of the Father, and that tells us something about Jesus, that Jesus is holy as well, he has declared him. That is, he's expounded upon who God is. He's explained who God is to us. He's told us about God so that we can know who he is and that we can understand something about God. And so that's one aspect of holiness, is the set apartness, the uniqueness, and the dedicated aspect of holiness. And we're called to be separated. We're called to be set apart. We're called to be unique, and we're called to be dedicated as God's people. But then another aspect of holiness is this aspect that we sometimes call purity. Okay? And purity means that we're not defiled, that we haven't been corrupted, that we're not adulterated, okay, that is mixed with something else. We're not an alloy, to put it in metallurgical terms, right? We are special. We're pure. And so sometimes we refer to the purity that's involved in holiness. Now, that purity follows from our being set apart. it follows from our being special and unique. And God is pure in that sense. Nothing is able to corrupt Him. Nothing is able to influence Him in an ungodly way, in a sinful way. God is completely resistant to those influences, to those urges. We are not, however, because those things prevail upon us and they cause us to sin. And sin is, in essence, a corruption of that which is physical, that which is the concept of being corrupted by our own desires for physical things, that they come in and they corrupt us in a spiritual sense. And so to be pure, we've got to separate ourselves from those unholy desires. I appreciated the brother's prayer so much this morning about, and especially what he said about addiction. Because in essence, addiction is an ultimate corruption of that which is unholy entering into our lives and taking control of us in such a way so we almost lose all of our spirituality and just become a play toy of the carnal things that are in the world. And we really do become, in a sense, a very animalistic when we are addicted to things and we lose that spiritual nature of ourselves that is distinct and is separated from those things in our life. And that's why God wants the spiritual to remain in control and not to give in to the carnal, because the carnal will take control if the spiritual does not assert its control. And we need to be spiritual people. And so purity is another aspect of holiness, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. There's a third aspect to holiness that we're going to talk about in another lesson in the future, and that aspect to holiness is distinctiveness. It's distinctiveness, all right? And that's the idea that others can see that we are different. And because we're different, because we're distinctive, that plays an important role in the work of the gospel, in spreading the truth to others, in helping others to come to understand what it means to be a child of God. God is holy, and we're called to be children of God. And we are children of God, and because of that, we need to display holiness within our life. So let's talk about this second idea that's behind holiness. This idea of purity, that is, purity of mind, purity of body, and purity of behavior as we live our lives. We need to be holy in the sense of purity. Now, if we're going to be holy as God is holy, we need to be set apart. And as we are set apart and dedicated to His service, then a lot of these things are going to fall in place in regard to purity. But we need to focus upon them specifically. And we need to have knowledge of what things are pure and what things are impure so that we know to participate in the pure things and to not participate in the impure things. And that's why we want to talk about purity. And the Bible talks about purity very specifically. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, Jesus says clearly, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Hearts that are pure are hearts that haven't been corrupted by the things of the world. Holiness of the heart prevents impurity of the heart. When our hearts are set aside, when they're dedicated, when they're given to God, then our hearts are going to be pure, and we're not going to give our hearts to the things of this world, to the corruptions that are in this world. But so often what happens is we desire those things, you see, and we let them into our life, and then because we let them into our life, we become impure and we become corrupted, and then we have to deal with the problems that are associated with those impurities and with those corruptions that come in. Now listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19. Matthew 15, verse 19. He said, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies." So you see, it's really about the heart, and it's really about the desires that come from the heart. That's where it begins. And if our desires are impure, then our heart is going to be impure as well. And that's what Jesus says. Out of what comes out of the heart? Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. Think about that list of sins. And in Mark, there's some other things added to this list. In Luke, there's some other things added to this list. And one of the things that Luke adds is pride. Pride comes out of the heart. And so these desires that we have, that we foster within our hearts, that we allow to be in our hearts, we have to combat those desires with the Spirit that God has given us. And we have to disallow them from even taking shape within ourselves. Now that's a challenge. That's a great challenge. But that is the challenge of holiness. And that is the challenge of purity. Now sometimes we don't recognize these things. Satan is very deceitful. And he uses that deceitfulness within us to deceive ourselves. And we become self-deceived about things. And we seek to justify and rationalize. When you start trying to explain something to somebody else about how your behavior is the way that it is, you need to ask yourself a very serious question. You need to ask yourself, am I explaining this because there's a legitimate need here? Or am I explaining this simply because I want to rationalize my own behavior and self-justify my own behavior? Okay? Because a lot of times that's what we do. We seek to self-justify instead of being holy as God has called us to be holy, right? So we've got to really think about our own thoughts and really think about our own desires in that regard, because it's from the heart that those things take place. Now, if we will pursue holiness, if we will pursue the purity of holiness within our hearts, then God will come near to us and we will draw near to God. James chapter 4 and verse 8 tells us, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded." You see, when we don't purify our hearts, we create a double mind within ourselves. There is, on the one hand, the mind that says, "I desire all of these carnal things, these impure things." There is, on the other hand, the mind that says, "I desire spiritual things, holy things." And when we are carnal, when our hearts are not pure, that's what we have within us. We have a double-minded heart. Part of our mind is pursuing one thing and part of the mind is pursuing the other. And those two things conflict and we will not feel good about that circumstance and that situation. And we will be depressed, and we will be upset, and we will be low and down and miserable because there's a conflict taking place within our souls. Now, we've got to let go of the conflict and give ourselves to pure things and to spiritual things alone, and we've got to recognize the impure desires and cut them off if we want to be a holy people and if we want to be a pure people. So we've got to purify our hearts, James tells us. James chapter 4 and verse 8. And then in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, "To the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." Now there's the motive. There's the end that we're looking for in reference to that pure life. We're looking for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our hearts being established in holiness, that is, in purity, for that coming. Because that's what we're striving for. We're not living for this life. if we're just living for this life, then we might as well quit church and do whatever we want to do. Because if that's all we're living for, then there's no point in coming here and trying to be spiritual when we're not. Okay? But if we're living for eternity, if we're living to be with God in Christ, if we're living like Paul was living, to see the resurrection of the dead, then we're going to have pure lives and we're going to have holy lives. Because as John tells us in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 and following, he says, "Beloved, we don't know how we shall appear, but we know that we shall be like him." And then he says this, "And everyone who has this hope purifies himself, even as he is pure." Now that's a high standard. That's a lofty ideal, but that's what God desires, and that's what we should desire as well, to purify our minds. Now when we purify our minds, there's going to be another consequence that follows, and that is going to be that we're going to have a pure body. And the Bible teaches us that we need to purify ourselves concerning the things that are of the flesh. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes, "Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilements of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Now listen to that. We need to cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. So the flesh can be defiled and the spirit can be defiled. Now we just talked about the defilements of the spirit, and those are our own desires that we need to battle on a daily basis, and we need to put away from us those desires for physical carnal things that corrupt us. But then the flesh can be corrupted as well. If we will put away the desires of the heart, then that will go a long way toward the fleshly things also. So let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. People allow the physical to defile themselves in a lot of ways. We can engage in the sin of gluttony and defile our bodies like that. And that's a defilement. We can engage, and gluttony includes a lot of things. It's not just about food, but it can be drug use, alcohol abuse, tobacco use, all of those things, okay? All of those things are involved in gluttony, which has as its source the physical desire to make ourselves feel good through some kind of ingestion of substance, okay? When we feel bad about ourselves because of our guilt, of our sin, all right? And that's how it works. And so we will try to make ourselves feel good through some kind of physical ingestion of a substance of one kind or another, whether it's food or alcohol, tobacco, it can be all of those things, okay? All of those things are included in the sin of gluttony. And so that's one problem that is there. But then also there's sexual desires that we can be corrupted with. We can be given over to that. And we've got to refrain from that kind of thinking. And we've got to refrain from that kind of behavior within our life and seeking to fulfill those sexual desires in an impure and in an unholy way. Those things are sinful. And those things can corrupt the flesh. But there's also the corruption of the flesh through greed, okay? Now that's a fleshly corruption as well. Greed. When greed comes in and it says that you've got to have this amount of money or these amount of things, or that you, and basically you're being controlled by physical things that are in the world, objects, all right? And you have attached value to those objects in such a way so that the objects themselves begin to control your life instead of you controlling them. And you see them, you see those objects as having value in and of themselves when all they are there for is to be used for some purpose and then discarded, okay? And they have no real value within them. Now, that's true of every single thing that's in this world. And a lot of times, what we'll do when we get corrupted by greed, what we'll do is we'll start valuing things over people. And we'll start saying, well, these things are more important than these people. And I've got to take care of these things before I take care of these people. And what God is calling us to do is to love people above all else, including and especially things that are in the earth. What a big problem that is when we love things and use people instead of loving people and using things, which is what we should do. And that's greed. And that's what greed does to us, all right? So greed is a problem. And then sloth. Sloth is a problem, a physical problem. Slothfulness. And sometimes we just call it laziness, okay? And that's the concept or the idea that, there's a physical aspect that I need to be pursuing. And the Bible tells us that we need to be, take care of our business, not slothful in business, the Bible says, but zealous for that. But nevertheless, when we're slothful, we allow the idea or the concept of rest and ease to infect our lives and to control everything that we do, so that now what I have done is I haven't been diligent in my business, but instead I'm arranging my life out of what is convenient for me. And I'm saying, well, what is going to ease my path? What is going to ease my burden? And we look at everything as being burdensome, you see. Everything's not burdensome. The life is not burdensome. God didn't make it that way. Now, there's burdens in life, don't get me wrong. But typically speaking, life is really great. But when we're slothful, we see everything as a burden. Oh, I have to do all of this work, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and oh, if somebody could just help me with all of these things. Well, that's the wrong attitude to have. That's a slothful attitude, and that's sinful, all right? Instead, we need to look at doing these things with joy and with there's a good word that I'm going to use that many of you maybe not haven't heard, but it sums up really everything that we need to be about doing. The word alacrity. We need to do it with zeal and with gusto and with zest, with joy, looking at these things not as burdens to be done, but as opportunities that we have to participate in the work that God has given us to do. And what a great blessing it is to live in God's world and to enjoy the things that He has placed around us. They're not a burden. And that's one of the greatest deceptions that Satan has brought our way, is especially slothfulness, turning people, other people, into burdens. You think about how this modern world thinks about that, about other people being burdens. That's one of the reasons why we have the abortion business today, because we look at children as burdens instead of looking at them as blessings. And children are blessed. Now, children need to be trained. Don't get me wrong. They need to be instructed. They need to be taught. But they are blessings. They are not burdens. And we need to start looking at them as blessings and not burdens. Looking at them as burdens comes from our sinfully slothful desires. And we got to give that up. All right? We got to give up our desires, not the blessings that God has given us in this life. So purity in body, and our members must be servants to holiness. Romans 6 and verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquities and to iniquity, even so now yield your members, that is your physical body, yield your members to righteousness unto holiness. And that's how God wants us to be, holy as He is holy. And it means having purity in our life. And we need to be pure in our behavior. 1 Peter 2 and verse 12. Having your behavior seemly, that is honest or honorable, among the Gentiles, that wherein they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, when we lead holy lives, I mean truly holy lives, we're going to have that pure mind. We're going to set our thoughts on the things that are spiritual and above. We're going to have that pure body. That is, we're not going to be participating in fleshly things, carnal things, allowing greed, sloth, lust, and gluttony to destroy our lives. But we're going to live life to the fullest, and we're really going to enjoy the thing. Now, when you start enjoying life, do you think people are going to notice that? What do you think? They're going to notice it. They're going to notice it. They're going to see the difference in your life. They're going to see your joy. They're going to see your happiness. They're going to see your distinctness. And look, that's holiness, okay? That's holiness as God is holy. And that makes a difference in your life, and it makes a difference in other people's lives as well. So we should be concerned about holy living and behaving in a holy way and helping other people to live holy lives as well. We don't want anybody else to be miserable, do we? But that's what unholiness brings to our life. You know, I think some people do want other people to be miserable because they're miserable. And they think, well, if I'm miserable, then other people ought to be miserable as well. What's that old saying? Misery loves company, right? But let's not be like that. Let's live holy lives so we can be separated from all that junk. 2 Peter 3 and verse 11 says, seeing that these things are all thus to be dissolved, that is, everything that you see around you, God's going to bring it to an end. It's all going to be dissolved. It's all going to be burned up. And it's not going to be anymore. Then he asks this question. What kind of people ought you to be in all holy living and godliness? Don't let the things of this world corrupt you so that you become impure and unholy and corrupted. When these things are all taken away, if that's all you've lived for in your life, then in eternity, you're going to be a miserable person because everything that you've lived for will be done away with. We need to be focusing upon what really will last: God, other people, and the relationships that we build among ourselves. But like as he who has called you is holy, be ye yourselves also holy in all manner of living. What does that expression mean? All manner of living. It means in everything that you do. You know, there's not a single part of our life that Christianity doesn't touch. You know, some people have this idea today that, well, I've got my spiritual life, and then I've got my personal life, you see. And I can be spiritual over here, and then I can do what I want in my personal life because I'm spiritual over here. That's false. That's the wrong kind of thinking. Christianity is not just a Sunday-only kind of thing. It's not just for when it's convenient for you. It is to be pervasive throughout all of your life. Every single aspect of your life should be touched by Christ. That's what Peter means when he says, be yourselves also holy in all manner of living. In everything that there is to live, we've got to be a holy people. A people that have been called to purity, pure in mind, pure in body, and pure in our behavior. Now that's a high calling, but that's what God calls us to, and that's what we need to be living for each and every day. Have you been living to be holy? Perhaps this morning you realize that there's some things that need to change in your life. Maybe you need the prayers of the church in order to change those things so that you can live holy, so that you can have that holy living that God talks about in His Word. Why not make that change this morning and give yourself back to Him? Rededicate your life to Christ and to the holy ways that He has given us. If you're not a child of God and your life is completely unholy, but you realize that there's a better way, unholiness has brought you nothing but misery, and you want forgiveness of those sins, and you want to become a child of God, and you want to start having your life directed by the Spirit, There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Why not become a child of God this morning through following the simple plan that Jesus gave to hear His word and believe it, repent of your sins, confess Him as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And if you do that, you can start walking that holy life set apart by Him and with the aid and guidance of the Holy Spirit through His word, so that we can live those holy and pure lives that He wants us to live and have that joy and that peace. That comes from holiness. It doesn't come from being corrupted by the world. Joy and peace and goodness, that doesn't come through the world. That only comes through God's holiness. And you can have it this morning by being a child of God. Do you need to respond to His invitation to be holy as He is holy? Come while we stand and sing.